going on, guys? Welcome back to Pure Evil MMA. I'm your host, as always, Evil Eddie, and we got a really special podcast set up for you today. Take two on this special podcast. One of the podcasts I'm really excited to do in the last couple of years, because everything that's going on right now is so serious, but we haven't really had the chance to talk to somebody that's going through it. Not only just anybody, not just a cousin or uncle or a friend, but somebody in the fight scene. And I think that's really important to discuss because of what we do, how we're connected. So I'm going to hand the microphone over to Slap for Cash to introduce the heavyweight champ.
Yo, what's going on? How you doing, Eddie?
I'm doing good.
So I'm a part of all these different groups. Obviously I'm known for the big viral Slap for Cash videos and slapping people, but I'm also a part of a lot of different boxing groups. I'm a part of just funny content creating, comedy content creating, doing multiple different things with different people, different groups. I'm always staying active, just networking. And I was on Facebook one day, and I've been friends with Hazel Roche for about a year, and I noticed he was saying something about COVID-19, and I'm like, I wonder what he's talking about. So I didn't know anybody who had it at the time, and he's still the only person I know that actually got the COVID-19.
Same here, other than my grandmother, but yeah, same here.
Yeah, so, you know, I was interested. I was like, damn, dude, how did he get it? Because, you know, I know Hazel from Celebrity Boxing. He's the heavyweight champion. He's a Latin heavyweight champion over there. He's 7-0, undefeated. He's healthy. You know, he's in the gym. And so I reached out to him. Like, hey, man, are you all right? He's like, I'm in the hospital, man. And my mom's here, too, and my daughter. And I'm like, well, fuck, what happened? And he's like, you know, I went to do a photo shoot. And I don't know, just one of the girls was just sick. And a few days later, I wasn't feeling well. And I'm like, damn, dude. He's like, yeah, I got like a 20% chance of living. And I'm like, well, we got a boxing match coming up, and I'm about to beat your ass. You need to heal up.
So I felt like, that's a good thing for me. I'll get the extra 50% of the purse.
Yeah. he's like, you know what? All right. So no, all jokes aside, you know, I was worried about him, man.
Yeah,
and he started to heal up, and as he's healing, you know, like, he's feeling better and stuff. So I started talking to him back and forth. And then I'd say Hazel lives out in Philadelphia. He lives in North Philadelphia. So I hit him up and I'm like, bro, what's going on? You know, like, I'm watching the news, and obviously in Las Vegas, it's not that bad, but in Philly, you just see all this crazy shit going on. So I'm like, bro, I got to ask you, is it really like that out there? This dude just like healed up from COVID-19. And he's like, not really, man. Like, I'm fucking hearing, I'm like, dynamite's going down my street. The fucking walls of my house are shaking. I'm like, man, this guy just had COVID-19. He recovers. His family just recovered. He's sitting in the house watching fucking Dynamite
roll
down
the fucking
street.
Still ready to kick your ass, too, Slap. Still ready to kick your ass.
So I'm like, I'm talking to him on the phone, and I'm like, COVID-19. I'm talking to him about that. I'm talking about the riot. And I'm like, I just had this. I'm like, 50 minutes go by, me and him talking. I'm like, yo, man, we got it. I was like, dude, don't say another word. I got to call my boy Eddie. We got to get this. We got to do an interview, because this is just too good of a story, like, to,
it really is,
to pass up. We should really share this with other people, because it's really a good story. Because, you know, just contracting COVID, obviously, like, people would be so worried about, oh, what, that they're going to die and all this other shit. And this dude over here just beat it. And not only did he beat it, his mother beat it, and his daughter also beat it.
And now you're scared. Like, and now you're scared. He's like, he beat COVID-19. Now he's going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So here's my homie right here. We're bringing him up. Hazel Roche, Latin heavyweight champ from Celebrity Boxing, undefeated. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on? Thank you so much, Eddie, and thank you so much, Rick. It's a pleasure being here with you tonight.
So listen, I really want to start this as the timeline goes without confusing anybody. I think Slap did a beautiful job with that introduction to kind of get everybody comfortable. And I'm sure everyone that's in their car, hopefully on their way to work, hopefully, you know, there's a lot of people that are still home, but there are people going back to work, the nurses and stuff, that are listening to the show right now and they want to hear your story. So let's start from the beginning, because I think this is like a book, man. Like, I'm sure when you have great-grandchildren, they're going to be doing book reports in first grade asking you about your experience. You'll be brought in as, you know, show and tell. And right now we're going through it. So let's do show and tell right now during this all, because this is just nuts. So where do we start with this? Where were you when you found out you had COVID?
First of all, let's go back a little to where what Rick was saying. I'm glad that everybody was comfortable that I can be Rick. He said, if you be Kobe, you can be Rick. I said, do you see the size of this guy? Are you serious? Everybody was confident about me. This guy's 400 pounds. Double my weight. Are you serious? I'm hoping this guy turns to be my friend because I really don't want to see him in Rick. Everybody was like, okay, you guys say, listen, I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just trying to get this guy as my friend. Because you're not the one who would have guessed. Look, this guy's slapping people and knocking them out. You're not the punch. I want to thank Rick, man. This guy, Rick is a great guy, great human being. Like, he didn't have to reach to me. He did it from the heart. He's been blessed, so he knows how to bless other people. And for a lot of people that know him out here, they will know because he's a great guy. He don't have to do stuff that he do, and he do it from the heart. So it's a blessing.
Thanks, man. And I appreciate that.
And nice I want to thank you, Eddie, for accepting in a short notice. The Latin lover always, you know, I'm always like that. Unexpected.
Oh, my girlfriend. You don't make my girlfriend jealous over here. I want to be the Italian lover.
Hey, right? I wanted to ask you, still my too, girl. Bro. I was like.
Mr. Still your girl over here.
Hey, I was like. I was going to tell you, don't bring no girls to this interview.
Yeah, you see that? I told her wait upstairs.
I got a good friend of mine that say, the Latin lover, the men envy him, the ladies want him. I don't know. You know, I still stuck on the three same ladies that you see back here.
Yeah.
So, all joking aside, I really appreciated the opportunity, and especially to for me to tell everybody about the COVID, because a lot of people think it's a joke. Mm-hmm. As you told me, we're going to start from the start. I don't know how I got it. I can blame nobody. You will never know how you get the COVID. I know I gave it to my family because my mom don't come out of my house. My daughter don't come out of my house. So I bring it to the house. I know that for a fact, but I don't know how I got it. I'm just thankful that God saved me from this disease. I mean, thousands, I don't know, millions of people maybe have died all around the world, not the United States. Italy, a lot of people died. China, that it was supposed to be where it was created. So people is dying. So for me to be one of the survivors, I believe I'm a winner.
20% chance, they told you, correct? They told you 20.
Yeah.
What was going through your mind when they told you that?
Okay, it's a funny thing because I got to the hospital, once I got my stomach, I had a pain. Once I got to take out, I was okay. I was fine. Man, I feel ready. I was 252 pounds when I went to the hospital. So this is a big fact. So I was feeling good. They say, no, we got to keep you around. The fourth day, I start losing breath, air. You know, so when I went to stand up from the bed, I fell. Like, what the heck? They say, hold on. All the nurses came in, and they put me the thing, and I could stand up. So I'm like, oh, so this is serious. This is not what people talking about that is like getting a flu or something. So after the second day, they switched me to Temple Hospital. That is one of the biggest hospitals all around the world, not just in Philadelphia. And the doctors say, we're going to have to keep you. And on the fourth day, we're going to put you in intensive care.
Ooh, ICU.
So, wow. ICU. And I got pictures over there. I didn't even have a toilet over there, so it was bad. So,
especially with stomach pains, you know?
No, the stomach pain was gone already. It just didn't have no air.
Damn.
I couldn't eat for 10 days. For 10 days, I couldn't eat. I lost 30 pounds. So, like the fifth day, the doctor tapped me. And I told him, listen, I'm celebrity boxing heavyweight champ. I really want to get back to the ring and keep bringing the excitement and the happiness and the show that I bring to people. It's all about bringing joy to people. So, anyway, listen, we're going to do our best, but your chances of surviving is 20%.
Now, God, I want my listeners to understand. I want my listeners that are in their car or sitting at the beach, luckily, to close their eyes and think about sitting there like you were and hearing that. A lot of us wouldn't know what was going through your mind that second.
Tears. Not because, you know, as a father, I got three girls, and two of them are 5 years old. Wow. So, different mom. It's just a Latin lover thing. it went to my mind, you know, like, come on, I can't leave my daughter now. You know what I mean? I, my daughters are just growing up. Yeah, I just started this celebrity boxing. I started being like a big name for celebrity boxing. People love me because I'm one of the good guys in celebrity boxing. And, you know, God, I'm not ready to die. 20% chance of surviving. I mean, like, no, all I could do was cry. I wasn't eating. So all my appetite, it was bad. The doctors came and say, Louis, because my real number is Louis. Louis, we have some tests and study that we can try on you. Guinea pig. So I was like, hey, you do what you have to do. Just get me out of here. And when I was talking, I did the video was like, all I can do was this to people calling me. I'm okay. But inside, I was dying. I mean, I know.
What were your symptoms? What did it feel like in that moment? Especially as a fighter, you've gone through so much. You know, in the ring, you're going, you get punched, and sometimes, you might want to quit, but you overcome. So what are the similarities there?
You know what? The only thing I want to thank most of my friends and family and fans that never gave up on me. That's what saved me, too. They never gave up on me. My people was like, Hazel, you are celebrity boxing champ. You won your belt in the second fight. So you mean to tell me that you're going to let this disease kill you?
No one threw in the white towel.
I was telling him to start a GoFundMe. I'm like, bro, get a GoFundMe going. He goes, man, I don't. He didn't even want to start it. You know, he could have probably got whatever, 10,000, 15, I don't know.
It's expensive being in the hospital. Just a ride to the hospital's, $1,500.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, I'm talking to him the whole time, you know, checking in because, bro, this is the first person. And I was like skeptical. I'm like, the fucking government's scamming us. They're making shit up. Like, I didn't believe it until I seen he had it. And when I found out that Hazel had COVID-19, I was like, fuck. And then I started wearing masks and gloves because I knew if he could get it, so could any of us, because this dude's, he's in shape. He's working out. Like he said, he's a champ of celebrity boxing, heavyweight. And, bro, the guy's in shape. Like, he works out. And it's not like he's a sick old man, you know. He's a guy that's in shape. He works out. He's a boxer. So when I found out he had it, bro, I was like, whoa. I chilled out for a minute. I stopped being reckless, you know.
Now, so, champ, let me rewind a little bit. Before you got this, what were you thinking about COVID? I mean, let's put a time on this. How long ago did you find out? Like, do you know the date?
Okay. Before this, I'm part of a group from New Jersey, New York, called MBK Vision. So I do modeling for them. Movies. I work in movies. They got podcasts. Wow. So one thing we was doing, we was doing videos saying, listen, be aware, keep the distance. So I was getting people aware. So I was, you know, I was telling people, please just stay home. You don't need to be out. So all these videos, when it came to me having the disease, I'm like, I was one of the ones saying, stay in distance and everything. And I got it. How? I mean, the people who I was, it was people who I always frequent, you know, it's the same people. It's not like I was meeting new people. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I never had tried drugs. So I was a real healthy guy. You understand? So from the time I don't even know how I got it, to be honest. But you know, I'm not a person to be outside. Yes, I ride motorcycle. That's my hobby.
I bet you do. You look like a guy that would be on the motorcycle. Yeah. With the heavyweight belt too. Oh, riding down the freeway with the heavyweight belt and shit. Yeah.
You know what's funny? I never, even when I go to my event, I don't know how to say it, but I'm a real humble guy. I don't like to carry this because people call it to call attention. You understand? A lot of people, you know. So I usually got one of my bodyguards. I got bodyguards, security, to carry or one of the girls. And when they ask me, oh, yo, that guy with the big nose right there, that's the Latin lover. That's the champ. So even when we go to Florida, people love me. So.
Hey, Hazel, this went on the news too, didn't it, in your area?
Yeah. No, it was actually around the world, CBS. It went to channel in Puerto Rico. People started contacting me from everywhere, from Florida. I was in a channel news in Florida. So it was all around the world, CBS, CW17. So it was everywhere. My video, I never have more than, because I'm not big in this, I'm starting now. It catch 13,000 viewers. So from being 100 viewers, 213,000, now I'm getting a lot of people who get to know me just because of COVID, which is not something fun to say, but I'm glad that people saw what I was going through.
So here's the other thing. When you say that you were in the hospital, they told you had a 20% chance of living. How was that the time when your mother and your daughter were in the hospital, or how did that come about, and how did that make you feel? Because now it must have felt like this was attacking you.
Let me tell you what was the worst. It wasn't.
Ooh, slap.
I don't know what happened, bro.
It just cut me off. Call him. Call him back. Shit.
Gosh, damn it.
Adam in here. Fuck.
I don't know what happened, dude. It was so weird.
Shit. Call me back with him. All right. Come on. Join call.
It was hard, but I got to see them. I got to see my mom. I got a picture with her before they transfer us. And I was worried about her. She's 68. She have diabetes. She got every disease. And this is the people that die for real. The people that is really sick. So, but I got the worst COVID of all. It's not only one COVID. He attacked you. Like, I got pneumonia with the COVID. And that's why it almost killed me.
Oh, wow. So hold on, champ. 1 second. Slap dropped out the call, so he's gonna call you right now and jump back in.
Okay, I'm waiting.
Let's see. Bada bing. Let's add. All right, Slap's gonna call you right now. He's gonna call you right now. We'll jump back in. All right, so give him a second. I don't know. Slap jumped out. I called him. You guys heard that, and then obviously the champ was finishing the story. But I want to hear that story. I think this is. You know, I got this phone call 90 minutes ago. Me and my girl, you know, like any relationship, we were fighting. And I was like, you know what, babe, listen, we'll pick this back up after this. Because this is such a big story. Not only is it a boxer, a fighter, but somebody that overcome COVID and is living in Philadelphia. So wait till you guys hear about people throwing dynamite outside of his window. We are getting to that in just a second. And this is just the craziest thing that's going on. My mom works at Yale New Haven Hospital, and right here in Danbury, while my girl was on her way here, said that they're ripping nurses out the car, making them, you know, do the Pledge of Allegiance. Things are crazy right now. I've said this on other podcasts. This is what I thought 2019 would be. This is the purge. That's basically how I feel what's going on. And could you imagine having young children explaining this to them? The things that they're seeing, that's got to be very overwhelming, especially since they haven't seen their friends in a while. Like, you're hanging out with your children all day, and then they're seeing this. Like, this has got to be so confusing. And I thought this was the perfect interview. Let's get both these guys back in here. Let me call Slap and add both these guys. I think he picked up that call, actually. Slap.
Yeah.
Add him back in, if you could.
Hold on. Stay on the phone.
Okay.
Why isn't it letting me?
Here, let me. So go up to the top, press plus.
Hold on, I got it.
All right.
That was weird, bro. I think it lost connection or something.
Yeah, it just showed that, like, you just dropped out real quick. All right, here we go.
You guys should have just kept going.
We were, but then I got worried about you.
Oh, shit.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Which one are we on? Hold on.
I think this is like...
So I lost connection. If that happens again, just go without me.
Where are you guys? Oh, there you are. Okay.
Did you hear me, Hazel?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
If that happens again, because I had poor connection, guys, just roll it without me.
Cricket.
Just put me in the beginning.
All right, Hazel, you got to just click on the video thing again.
Oh, the camera. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Are we still on that same link?
Yeah, we're all good. We're all good right now. So, okay, Hazel, so I was asking you, you know, once you were in there, you found out you had 20% chance of living. You know, when did the whole thing come up with your family? Because I'm sure that was like everyone's attacking you. You know, like what's going on? How did that come about?
So, my mom found out the next day after I was over there. Then my daughter, she knew that she had it, but because she was young, they had her in the hospital for 2 days, sent her back home with medication. Okay. Me and my mom stood in the hospital.
Okay, so once that happened, they said you had a 20% chance. How were you feeling? Did you feel like what was going on? Because people can't visit you, right? Like, what is it like being in the hospital?
No, you can get no visit. I feel guilty in a way because my mom got it because of me. So, you know how you're going to feel? Imagine if it would have happened something to her. How would you feel the same because of you? Your mother, hopefully, you know, God would want to pass away or something. How would you feel? So that's why how I was feeling. I didn't care if it was me, but, you know, not her. You know, I bring it home. I bring that disease home, which it wasn't my fault, but I mean, if I would have stood home, that would have never happened.
So listen,
what's going on in my mind.
I got to ask you both, you know, listen, you get out the hospital, and then now all this is going on. This is a big deal. Like, you just got over this, and now there's rioting going on. So, Slap, you're in L.A. Yeah. Champ, you're in Philly. Can you guys give our listeners? You're in Cali.
Well, no, I was in L.A., and then I went to Vegas once I seen all the chaos.
Okay. So, Slap, let me ask you, and then we'll go back to the champ. What is it like out there right now? Because there's a lot of looting going on. We've seen Jake Paul get 6 months, or he has to go to jail for looting. It's got to be crazy in California right now. Did anyone offer you to go looting with them? Because I'm sure that came up at some point, right?
Well, yeah, I got a lot of friends on both sides, so I knew that. Okay.
And that side's wet.
So I knew that.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry.
He still said sorry and shit. I love that.
Let me step into my office. So anyways, it's the vending machines.
He went back.
Okay, so one thing you guys don't know that you haven't seen before, who went live, Slap was already at the vending machine. Had to pay about $3 for a Coke.
Yeah, he's back. Okay. So, guys, I had $2, and the Cokes are $2.25, and I'm like, I was like, Hazel bought his fucking bad luck in this jack.
Hey, yo. Hey, Slap, you're in the white rich people spot. That's what it is. Us in the neighborhood, us in the ghetto, it's $1.25. You know, no taxes.
Hey, right here in the city. Yeah, it's a dollar. It's a dollar here in the city.
It's a dollar. You don't get no taxes. Get the fuck out of here. Dollar bills, come on. That's it.
Oh, my God.
Hey, you're right, too, bro. You're right about that shit.
Hey. Vegas is trying to drain everyone's wallets out there.
So, Eddie, you know, I got offered, obviously, I got friends that were down there, and they wanted me to be a part of what they were doing. And honestly, bro, like, when it comes to the protesting, I'm not against it. You know, what happened was messed up, and somebody, you know, those guys, those officers have to be accountable. And I'm not against protesting peacefully, you know, or if you want to mess up a couple things, maybe, you know, tip some cars over, okay. But when you start looting, breaking into stores, and just doing foul shit, man, I'm not with that, bro.
Here's the thing, I don't understand.
Like, now, if you want to protest, because something's going wrong in your country, I stand behind you 1,000%. But once the stealing and the burning down businesses, once that started, man, I'm like, I'm out. I stood back. And now I'm just a spectator. So, and I actually got disgusted and went to Vegas, because in Vegas they don't play that shit, bro. They don't. There was one store that got broke into in Vegas, and that was it, that I heard of.
Yeah, you know, L.A., you know, the L.A. riots, 1992, I believe, April 26th, I remember the Sublime song, April 26th, 1992, the riots in the streets, tell me, where were you? What's the difference between L.A. and Vegas, between, you know, the energies?
Big difference. Vegas, if they catch you looting, they will shoot you.
Now, let me bring this up. You know, Jake Paul, he was blaming on looting. If they saw you in the streets, they'd catch you. You know, they're slapped for cash running down the street with a new pair of Nikes.
Oh, that was another reason. Like, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't mind some free Apple shit, too. Or some Jordans.
And a pack of Coca-Cola, apparently.
Yeah, you know, a case of Coca-Cola, so I don't have to pay $2 a damn.
They're robbing you right now, you see?
You know, and there was a video I seen of this kid. He had a computer, and he's walking down the road, and I'm like, I kind of got jealous. And I was like, then I seen Little Tekka, he's on there, and I seen Jake Paul's on there, and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm an influencer.
These guys are stupid.
If they can recognize those dudes, there's no mass that's going to be able to hide me, bro. I'm 6'2", 430 pounds, bro. They're going to be like, that's Slime for Cash right there. He's looting, running down the street with Jordans and Apple computers. MacBook Pros and Jordans and Air Force Ones. They'd be like, that's Slime for Cash. And I'd be all over the fucking TMZ and all that.
Running down the street screaming, this is for Pure Evil MMA. I got him a MacBook finally.
Drop my sponsor in there.
Yeah.
It is bad.
But so, yeah, I was glad, you know, but big difference between those two cities.
Now, let's talk about Philadelphia. What's going on in your neighborhood? You're trying to leave the hospital. You're trying to come home, take care of the family champ, and you can't even relax right now. What is going on?
And actually, Rick didn't know that I had another event happening to me. I was going to tell you after the riot, something happened to me that, you know, it was another bus. Again, when the riot started, you know what I mean? First of all, I love everybody. Doesn't matter color, skin, race. Because
you're a fighter. Preference. You're a fighter. Yeah. You know everybody. We're all the same. We can all take a punch just like the last guy.
Exactly. I have. Many of black friends that support me 100%, just like white friends. Actually, I got more black friends and white friends that I have Puerto Ricans following me and supporting me. Which, you know, it comes to when they kill George. I mean, that was bad. I mean, there's no excuse.
Yeah.
Can we stop there, champ? Can we stop there?
Yeah.
When you watch the video, I'm going to ask both you and Slap the same question. I think this is very important. What was going through your head? How did you feel, champ? And I'm going to ask you the same thing, Slap.
Okay, when I saw the video, I just saw an evil man. An evil man. And what destroyed me inside, me, it was that the man that is on the floor, it doesn't matter color or anything. I know this might have to be a lot. He was calling his mama.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what is that? I mean, put yourself in his shoe.
Yeah.
This man is dying. When you're a little kid, what's the first thing you do when somebody does something? Call mama.
Your mom. Yeah.
It destroyed me as a human being. It destroyed me as a person. It destroyed me as how they can hear that, because I can say, mama, his mom died 2 years ago. Oh. I mean, it's hard for you to be a human being and don't get tears in your eyes. And seeing the officer with his neck in the floor, he said, I can't breathe.
As fighters, as fighters, you know what I mean? Like, that's a dangerous spot.
Yeah, that's the carotid artery.
When they're talking about I can breathe, I can relate, because I couldn't breathe when I was with COVID-19. So I know what it feels, you know what I mean, recently. So by the man saying I can breathe, seeing that officer, you know, not giving him a chance to leave. Get him up. Beat him up. The man can't breathe. I don't know, people now saying he was on drugs, this and that. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Don't matter.
You understand? This man is telling you, I can't breathe. Mama. Once he say mama, you know this guy's delirious already.
While in custody, he can't do anything. Imagine fighting with your hands behind your back and then somebody choking you for 8 minutes. You can barely hold on for 30 seconds.
10 minutes that guy was on his back. 200-pound guy. On your neck.
That officer looked evil. Even when he was choking him, if you look at the face, he's looking evil. Like, he meant to do it. And I don't know if you know, but they both used to work in a Puerto Rican restaurant in Minneapolis. So they are the Puerto Rican owners.
The police?
Yeah. Okay. They do security.
Okay.
They used to work together. So they know together. Maybe it was something. But again, and this is my intake on the luring and the riot. You cannot blame every white person in the country because what the Nazi did or that evil. I can't even call it a name because after seeing that other man suffering, calling his mom, he don't got a name. So, but you cannot blame everybody. You cannot go and broke pops and mom's store because you was mad because of the, right now they broke a lot of stores that people don't have nothing to do. They're struggling. They don't have insurance. You understand? So this is why I don't agree with them. And I'm not pointing at black or white because it was everybody.
Everybody.
We're all individuals.
Listen, when you say Jack Paul did it, I mean, what needs he got? This guy's a millionaire.
By the way, I'm a 4XL in Versace robe and I wear a size 14 in shoe. I'm not saying anything for anybody who took any stuff. And he is a MacBook Pro, but I'm just saying, that's on my Christmas list.
Listen out. I'm sorry, Eddie.
But Champ, you know what I mean? Like what Slap was saying before, going out flipping cars, lighting business on fire, all people that are probably supporting the protests that are getting attacked as well. This got to be crazy. I was telling you guys before this podcast started, my mom's a nurse in Danbury, about 10, 15, 20 minutes away from here. They're pulling nurses out of cars. My mom's a nurse. I always have to check in with her. And these are all in the front line. It's like, this is nuts. Could you imagine growing a little kid right now? Imagine having a 4 year old. You guys know more than I know. How do you explain this? How are you guys explaining this to your children to not make them scared of not just a scary movie, but what's going on outside the window of your secure home?
Well, like I said, when the stuff was going on, I seen LA was getting really bad. And, I have good friends and I have bad friends. I got people doing the right thing and I got people doing messed up stuff. And I don't judge, but I just don't want to be a part of it because, when I had my son, a lot of stuff changed in my life. One of the things is without my son, I might have been out there rioting and looting. I don't know. But we don't know anybody's situation. We don't know anybody's. If some people are hurting or broke or going through, it's a rough time financially in the country. And I feel like, with a good percentage of Americans losing their jobs, hey, why not loot? We need money. We can't get mad at nobody because there is a lot of pissed off people. But I think there's a lot of people that took advantage. And with so many people being out of work, I think that there was opportunities to steal and to make money and
a lot of peer pressure.
Like, a lot of pressure on people and a lot of frustrations and a lot of, not only this, you got to think people were stuck in their homes for a whole month, told they can't go outside without masks. There's a curfew. And when you push somebody so far, you can only push somebody so far, man, before they fight back. And It kind of feels like they just pushed us to see how far they could push us, because all of a sudden the COVID thing, that's a pandemic. The whole world was hurting and everybody was losing their jobs, but they still want rent money. They still want you to pay rent. Everybody still has to pay rent, but you don't have a job. And then they give you a check, okay, $1,200. $1,200, they came up with that number, $7. Times 40 hours, 280 times 4. And they rounded that shit up, 1,200.
So now you got little kids afraid they're going to be homeless too. On top of catching the virus, they're going
to
be homeless.
So you know what? There's some people, if you really needed it and you had to go loot, whatever, man. I'm not saying wrong or right on there, but it's I didn't want to be a part of it, so I went to, you know, in Vegas, if you loot, they will shoot. So
really,
they'll shoot you in Vegas. They will shoot you. And Vegas is like a melting pot. I really like it because there's a lot of people who there's so many different kinds of people. Man, I got all different kinds of friends, dude. I got black friends, I got white friends, Mexican friends,
and they've
Asian
all put
friends.
Up with a bunch of shit from all the visitors over the years that are just there to party and fuck with all the locals. Yeah.
I mean, I got friends of all races, but to answer your question, man, when I seen the video, I was purely disgusted. And I looked at it like this. I could have known that, man, because I know a lot of people, dude, thousands of people. And I could have known that guy, you know, and it doesn't matter if he was on drugs. It doesn't matter what his condition was. You have a duty as an officer. You swore in. You work for the public, man. And no matter, the officer seemed evil. He seemed frustrated. And what he did was wrong. It don't matter if he had his knee on a white man's neck, a black man's neck.
I've never seen that
Mexican,
before, though. I've never seen
any man's neck. You know, and they other videos have been appearing where I seen a kid got killed. The officer was on, like, laid his whole body on this kid's back, and that kid died too. And nothing happened to those officers. And you know,
wow,
it's,
really?
You know why it's scary? I'm gonna tell you why it's scary. It's not scary because of, you know, the race thing, it's scary because it could happen to any of us, and it could happen to any of our brothers. It could happen to any of our sisters, our mothers. If a cop's having a bad day and he wants to have his way with you because he doesn't like you because of the way you look, he can kill you and get away with it. That's fucking scary, bro.
Really quick before Champ talks, I just want to say something. Just like I was saying to both of you guys, we're all individuals. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just, you know, not all cops are evil. Not all nurses or people.
No.
You know, it's person. We all have friends that are evil. We still talk to them. But it comes to the point where people need to be held accountable. And I love that there's social media out there. I love that there's people uniting of all. Our generation is so much different than our grandparents' generation. It really is. We're understanding shit now that's really important, that's going to move us forward. And I think, you know, as shitty as this is, I agree with most of it. But, of course, like anything else, there's a lot of stuff that we won't agree with as well. But the most important thing out of all of it is that there's a voice. And if that voice can reach people to change their mind, I'm having a bad day, maybe I shouldn't do this because there's repercussions. You're not invincible. Just because you have a badge on, just because it doesn't matter. Like, know the repercussions. And I think it's really important to have that right now with social media and what we're doing as not just America, but as a world right now. We're all one right now. We're all going through some shit, and I've never seen anything like this. It feels like if the Beatles were to come out, right now would be the time for them to really come out and, like, blast. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
Yeah.
So, Champ, what's going on in your area? Because I think that's really interesting in Philadelphia.
No, I got a question. If I'm not mistaken, one of the cops was black, right?
I haven't seen all the videos. There was four cops on scene, and there's been new footage brought up. Slap, what do you know?
I think one of them was black. I mean,
one of them had a bald fade, right?
He looked like he was black or mixed. I mean, or Latino, but he got a last name, American last name. So, even if he was Latino, I know he wasn't pure white.
When I watched the video, you know, obviously, George was a big guy, and I've been arrested a few times before.
Well, think about this, Slap. If you're the only colored guy in a department, you're probably not going to feel like you have a voice, right? If it's all white guys or all black guys and a white guy or all Spanish guys and a black guy, you're not going to feel like you have a voice. You're going to feel overpowered, which is very unfortunate. So,
yeah. I mean, those cars, the size of the guy, George was a... He was a big guy, you know, and I know because I know how hard it is to get in those cars, man, because I've been put in cop cars before. And there's been two times where I couldn't get in the car. They had to call in a van. And I think that's what they were doing. I think that's why they were waiting, because they had to call in another vehicle or something. I don't know. But I know they tried to put him in the car and he just couldn't get in there.
But if you see the news, I'm sorry to interrupt you, they say that Chabon, the cop that killed him, opened so he can come out the other side.
Wow.
They opened. That's why, because he couldn't open the door from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So this was all master plan. They put him through one side. If you've been in a cop car, you know you can open, especially you handcuffed.
Yeah.
You handcuffed, I mean, you can open the other door. The other cop, the one that killed him, Shabazz or whatever, he opened the door. That's how he fell to the other side.
I'm not going to lie to you. When I seen that photo that everybody's pretty much seen with the officer's knee on George's neck, and he looks up at for a moment, and they got a picture of that. He just looked so fucking evil, dude.
Like, yeah, the cop.
if I seen evil in a dictionary and I looked it up and seen a picture, that would be the picture.
We've seen it before.
Just like he got took over by a devil, you know? He
was looking like he was enjoying it. He was enjoying it when he was doing it. And this is sad to say it, but it's the truth. He was enjoying it. He was looking like, like people are saying, please let him go. Let him go. This man,
everybody.
He was like enjoying it when he was on top of his.
But here's the thing. Okay, if me and you are out, and you know, I would never be a police officer. But let's say we are. Let's say we're bodyguards, right? And we're protecting somebody, and we're working with these other two guys, and we see one of the guys having to tackle another guy because he did something, and he just puts his neck, and this guy, he's already got him handcuffed. He puts him on the ground, and he and somebody we work with puts a knee in another guy's neck. The guy's not moving. He's cooperating. He's just laying on the ground. And then for 2-3 minutes, bro, after a while, that's just fucking common sense. You say, dude, get off him, bro. He's not even moving. Just let him sit there.
At least
sit him up. At least just sit him there and say, don't move, bro. If you move, we're going to have to, you know, go back to this. But don't just fucking... Bro, 10 minutes? That's a long time. I don't even know if I could sit on the ground for 10 minutes.
So both of you as fighters, don't you think cops should go through martial arts jiu-jitsu classes, you know, once a month, do an update class of, you know?
I think it's too easy to be a police officer. They don't go to, to be a doctor, you got to go to school for how long? To be a lawyer, you have to go to school for how long? To be a nurse, you have to go to school for how long?
4 years.
To be a police officer, you don't have to go to
school for that long. 6 to 9 months.
That's the problem. You know that they're not being. Where's their mental at? And this is the problem. They're just hiring so many people. They don't even know. Some of them have a military background.
They go from
war where they're messed up. They come home and then they become a police officer. Is that mentally stable? I don't know, man. I get worried because I'm a big guy, and if I tell you what, if I was cooperating, and I got put on the ground and somebody put their fucking knee on me,
it'd be another TikTok video you do. What?
Bro, I would flip out. I would flip the fuck out.
All right,
I want to say this. As you see in my shirt, I'm Puerto Rican. I'm proud to be Puerto Rican.
For people listening to the podcast, it says Puerto Rican boxing or Puerto Rican
celebrity boxing.
Celebrity boxing champ.
So I'm proud to be Puerto Rican, but I'm more proud to be an American.
Right.
Because this is where I was raised and I was born. I've been through school here since middle school to graduate. I went to college. I have backgrounds. Oh, yeah, I did the bad things. But when I see the police, and this comes to what Wig was saying, when I see a cop, acting like that, I can imagine what our troops do to them people over there that they don't have no
way
to report it. Yeah, military. They don't got no way to report it. You understand? As an American, we're going to back our troops up, back out. But can you imagine what can happen? If they do it to our people over here, what can they do to them people over there? You understand what I'm saying? And listen, I love America. I'm American. I'm 100%. I'm proud Puerto Rican because I was born in Puerto Rico, but I'm American. This is where Hazel Rocher was made, and this is where I'm going to die, loving America. We always, Puerto Rican is part of America no matter what. I was born in Puerto Rico, so that's why I say I'm proud Puerto Rican. But like Rick was saying, 9 months is not enough. And going to your question that you're saying, they should go to a military, to a jiu-jitsu or
MMA. Yeah.
Imagine if they learned that. What's going to happen?
Well, I mean, like, you know, the refs, you know how, like, there's
the worse.
The referees have to learn how to disarm, you know, a chokehold.
They're really going
to
fuck you up.
Listen, Rick was saying, if I ever go out with Rick, right, and we have any problem, I'm going to point at Rick and say, take the white man first.
But here's what I'm saying, though. To know, like, the pressure points. Don't put your knee on the neck. Don't do this. Don't do that. This is how you disarm this. That's why I bring this.
Sense.
It really is, though. You don't need classes for that. You're just being a dick. Which is...
You could tell he was having a bad day. The guy was probably fighting with his wife. You know, was probably having a bad day. He probably had a Hazel Roche or a slap for cash fucking his wife. And he found out about it. No, I'm just fucking around. But no, you could tell he had so much animosity. And you could just tell he was frustrated. And he took it out. He took it out on George. And it's disturbing, man. It's disturbing. To me, personally, I just look at it like, to put your... Nia, I don't look at things as race because I'm not a racist. I have, like I said, I have friends of all colors, man. I have all different walks.
It's 2020. You know what I mean? It's 2020. The whole world, America's a melting pot. You know,
dude, I don't do that. If you're a good person and you're like me and Hazel, we shoot the shit, man. We're real about stuff. We don't have to lie. Mm-hmm. Like if you're a real motherfucker. You know, if you're a true person and we could just shoot the shit, we don't have to hide what we do or where we all got demons, bro. Nobody's fucking perfect.
Let me say
this,
though.
What? Just keep it 100, motherfucker. And then I don't care what you are. If you keep it 100, I'll fuck with you. I don't care if you're rich, poor, black, white, Asian, American, gay, fucking, you're this guy, you're fucking jumping off. I don't care, bro. As long as you're straight 100% to me.
I ain't gonna agree with something with you over there because I really like more white females than white guys. Because I like more black females than black guys. You know what I mean? I know you know where I'm coming from.
I know,
the same way. I hope you feel y'all feel the same way that the Latin lover feels.
Oh, I love women. I'm just saying I don't judge people. You know.
But here, let me say this.
I'm just joking.
You know, if you even in like in fights, like we'll be at home and it'll be like, all right, that guy's choked out. The ref needs to step in. Just after a few seconds. And we know, as fighters or MMA media, we know the damage that can cause long-term from just a few seconds of choking somebody.
And they are trained for that.
Exactly.
I mean, here's the thing. You get a guy in a rear naked choke or a guillotine, you knock him out within 8 to 10 seconds, 6 seconds. Bro, that guy's out. You could feel his whole body go limp. When you got somebody you're holding on to, you could feel because I'm sure like, okay, you get somebody in a guillotine and you get them, you knock them out. You could feel their whole body go limp, bro.
And most of the times they'll even piss themselves as well. Like you can feel all that going. You can,
It's a, it's sad. And I mean, it's a sad thing. And what's the crazy part is, man, like Hazel's over there. This poor guy, man, just beating COVID-19 and then coming home to literally like dynamite rolling down.
I want to know about that. I really want to know. Everyone listening at home right now, Hazel, wants to know about this dynamite thing. We keep teasing it. You get home from the hospital. There's dynamite going off. Can you explain what you were doing that night? Or what is the story?
Okay, so like I was telling Rick, you know, all the looting was going around, and you know, I know there was gonna be a lot of crazy people. They was doing home invasion in Philadelphia, but one night I'm in the bathroom, like always. You know, I'm always shouting, you know, and I don't know where here, boom, and then I saw a spark. I'm talking about in the back of my house. I'm talking about the back of my house in the bathroom, but I got like a yard on the side. So then it starts shaking. Like literally 30 seconds after, boom, again. So my people start texting me, yo, you heard this? Yeah, I heard it, but what the heck it is? Did they bring the army out? I thought they built in the National Guard because that's how it felt. So at the fourth one, everything stopped. I'm putting the news. People was putting quarter dynamite to blow in the Mac machines. So they were blowing the Mac machines and getting the money.
Oh shit! That is, yeah, that's right.
So that's what they were doing. They wrap. They broke all the Mac machine all around Philadelphia. Wells Fargo, that Independence one, the one in the corner of my house, it was the Independence one. But I swear, that was a quarter dynamite, and that's that my house. Shit! Imagine if it would be a whole dynamite.
Especially while you're on the toilet, of all things, like you know what I mean. Like,
he just helped me. Whoa!
Your daughter's all, Dad. Are you okay in there?
It's like a war zone over there.
Shit. I don't know if I should scream or I should keep my calm because I don't want nobody here to hear the real life.
So what is it
like where you're at, Eddie?
Wait, what did you say, Slap?
I said you're in Connecticut, right, Hartford?
Yes. Yep. New Haven.
New Haven. Okay, what's it like in New Haven?
Oh, New Haven's calm.
Well, New Haven's pretty calm, but like I said, my mom's a nurse, so you know, going to work, the highways are blocked off. There's protesters. They're ripping nurses out the car, like I said before. But you know what? There's stores that are boarding up. They're a bit like I don't know if you guys have Eblen's where you are, which is like you know our generation's fashion, or outside malls. Like we have out in Clinton, which is about 30 minutes here from the city. There's an outside mall. They closed it down because they're afraid of looters. Everything's boarded up. I've never seen anything like that before. There's a bunch of threats going on, but most importantly, you know, these aren't peaceful protests, and it makes me nervous of my mother who's trying to help people who are sick right now, where I got to text her every night making sure she's getting to work fine because she agrees with what's going on right now, you know, and she's just trying to help. So it's scary, man.
Not only that, you got people that have COVID or you know, are scared of the COVID. So what are they doing? They're wearing masks. So now you got a bunch of people running around with masks on.
It's the purge, bro. It's the purge.
And this is I said, man.
Do you guys protect yourself? Listen, let me start with the champ, then the slap. Somebody's breaking your house right now. There's a group of people breaking your house right now, champ. What are you going to do? How do you protect this? How do you protect your family? Are you prepared for that? And Slap, I'm going to ask you the same thing. Close your eyes and imagine that right now. What are you going to do? We're in the middle of this interview. People are banging on the door. You hear more dynamite going off. What do you do right now? How do you react?
Well, I got the red phone.
You just go.
Batman, the red phone. So as soon as I see something, I call the red phone. My house in here where I live at.
You need to hang the heavyweight belt outside. Don't come in here.
Don't come here. You gotta get it. You know what I say? I own about 6 motorcycles. My only thing was that they try to come inside and take my motorcycle.
Yeah.
But what can I do with this 30 of them? A gun won't stop them. These guys are ready. Philadelphia is a tough place. You know, you don't think they're going to come over here and take your bikes, your car, whatever, without being prepared. They're coming ready. So even if I can defend myself with any weapon, it's not going to stop them. I might end up dead. So this is what I was thinking. As long as they don't get inside my house, let them sweep whatever they need. You understand? So because I live in the avenue, it's hard for them to come littering over here. You understand? Plus, there's a lot of, you know, people around that, if they know they're coming over here, these people are going to step up. You know, a lot of people know, you know, so I was just praying to God. I was just counting with God. I wasn't counting in trying to defend myself on everything, just praying to God.
You got to do what the Jewish do, where, like, when you get married, you hang the, or I think this is from the Bible or something, where you hang the bloody bed sheets from your door. Just put the heavyweight belt there. You know what I mean? Well, like, we're safe. Go to the next house.
Well, hey, and now that it's funny, you're saying you're from New Haven. My aunt lives in New Haven.
Oh, wow.
She used to live in the jungle.
Oh, they just closed the jungle across the street from the train station.
Yeah, she used to live in the jungle. Now she moved to, is that exit A?
I'm at exit 8 right now. I live at exit 8.
Well, you know where's the Walmart? I think it's a Walmart.
I'm living next to Walmart.
Well, you know where the gas station at?
The Four Corners where I grew up here in the city. Yes.
Is it?
By Taco Bell. Yes.
Well, she lived right there where the gas station at. you know, when you go inside the gas station, both of the gas stations are closed. She lived right over there.
You might know her.
I could point this camera out the window. You can see Walmart and all that shit right now.
Well, I stood in the hotel. Listen to this, Rick. I stood in the hotel in the, I think it's the, what is it? The,
across from Walmart?
The one across from Walmart. They seen. I think so. Yo, that's the prostitute spot.
Yes, I'm like, what? There's cars there all points of the morning. And across the street from me, there's Romantics, where you can go and they have the jerk off booths, but you can go back. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy.
I live right over there, so I want to say this real fast. I sleep in the little apartment complex. I'm pretty sure you know what apartment complex I'm talking about. That is
Quinnipiac Gardens.
Low-income people.
Quinnipiac Gardens. That's where I grew up. Right behind all that shit. That's what you're talking about.
So she lived over there. I went over there a couple of times. But I really, honest, Rick, I'm from the city. So every time I go to Connecticut, I try to hang myself. The only thing I can go is to the little trucks. Eddie, you know what I'm talking about, the little trucks next to the beach?
Yeah, Long Wharf. You're talking about the Long Wharf taco trucks.
Long Wharf, I go over there. Listen, you know what I literally do? I go to every single truck and grab a little thing. I can grab a slice of pizza from here. I want to try everything.
They have cow brain, lamb brain. They have all that exotic stuff down there. And there's hundreds, or not hundreds, but there's at least 20 trucks down there. It's a crazy city.
A lot of trucks.
It's so, a crazy go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. So every time I go to Connecticut, visiting my aunt, that's my hangout spot. The truck, because they even my cousin drives a tow truck over there. He's like, listen, there's nothing for real. If you're not from here, you're going to hang yourself.
For people that don't know what you're talking about when you say the jungle, there's different boroughs. Like, there's New York. There's the Hill. There's the Jungle. There's Long Wharf. There's the Cove. There's the Annex. There's Fairhaven and Exit 8. So when you brought up the jungle, that's a big drug area that they literally closed down. That's a huge drug. You can see in one of my vlogs, matter of fact, when I went to go cover World Series of Fighting on New Year's Eve, I did a vlog, and I film across the street at the jungle, and I go, that's a crack spot that they're shutting down right now. Like, in the middle of my vlog, I say that. You can see everything.
It's bad. It was bad. So I got to visit the jungle when I was younger, and Connecticut is a beautiful place. It's just not for – I don't think Rick will last longer over there, too, either. It's not a spot where it's not a city where you don't. I'm used to come out here and see people in the street.
I don't know, guys. I don't know if I'd last.
Hey!
Listen, Philly, you wouldn't need that in Philly. You wouldn't need
that. So let me move forward.
I'm a crazy motherfucker, bro. I already put this in my mind, that question you asked. Like,
perfect.
What would you do if
perfect.
A whole group of guys, decided to come in? Bro, I already had – see, because the thing is a lot of people don't know
they
one of my
jobs. They
have
work made out for them when they come into Slap's
house. I already put this in my mind because, like Hazel, he has 2 5-year-olds. I also have a 5-year-old boy, and, he has girls. I have a boy, and we have kids, man. And here's the thing. If you try to come in and take something from me or you try to take something – that's like taking –
from a lion.
I'm going to go crazy. And – one of my jobs is private security. I'm a bodyguard for celebrities. Eddie, you know that. And I'm a bodyguard for fighters. And
including
I get paid
some
well.
Of the baddest men on the fucking planet. Yep. Shout out 209. Shout out.
Yep. I bodyguard some pretty tough guys. And if they hire me to be their bodyguard, I mean, that says a lot in my eyes. And
let alone your own children.
Yeah. So if I have to protect my son. You know, and I already put it in my mind. I already thought I was going to have to do this. So if I already had multiple different
scenarios,
situations, played out just in case, because you need a game plan. Like if something like that happens and they're trying to harm you or harm your child, you need to know what you're going to do before it happens. You don't want to be thinking about it, why it's going on. Like you want to be able to react fast.
Exactly.
And mind, mental preparation and. I was prepared, man. Obviously, like working with stars and working with fighters, and I would say a good 9 out of 10 times that I work, I'm armed. So I have the right tools to take down a crowd if I had to. I wouldn't want to, but in a situation where it's me or them, my son needs me, man. And you're doing ill. You have ill intention towards me. Same thing. I already put it in my mind when they were pulling people out of cars. I'm like, dude, if they do that to me, I'm just going to keep going.
You're prepared for it as a security guard. You know, you're expecting that at all times.
Like, I'm going to be that one guy on CNN where the car didn't stop.
Because you're prepared for that. You know, being around the people that you are or the people that hire you, you're expecting that at any moment.
Here's the thing, bro. Now, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, because there's a lot of people that listen to me and they like to do what I say. I'm not telling you to go and drive through a peaceful crowd of fucking protesters.
That's important to say.
I'm not, you know, protesting is supposed to be peaceful. It's not supposed to be people getting killed. It's not supposed to be for looting. It's not supposed to be to steal. It's not supposed to benefit you. You're supposed to be out there doing, protesting against things that are going, that are wrong. And when you start doing, like I said earlier, when you start stealing and killing and stabbing and fighting and shooting and burning down your neighborhood and all that crazy shit, that's where I got to leave the situation. I just can't do that, bro. And that's why I didn't go out there, because I knew what it was going to, I knew it wasn't just going to be peaceful protesting. I knew that because of the, look, man, like, people aren't getting money right now. People lost their jobs. And I knew there was going to be a lot of pissed off people in those crowds waiting for some shit to go down so they could steal and do all the bad stuff. So that's the reason I wanted to be in the crowd. I wanted to protest too, bro. But I'm not going to be out there with friends. Hey, man, let's go to the Apple store. Hey, man, let's go get a Rolex. Hey, man, I can't be a part of that, man. And there's for many reasons. And the obvious reason is that I'm such a big dude that, you know, even with a mask on, it's still no.
They don't recognize you.
It's Slapper Cash and Daddy Long Neck. They just got a fucking MacBook Pro. You know?
No, the guy's beating the door and back in his career.
Yeah, they'll be like, hey, we want.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'd be the only. No, you're good. I'd be the only. Like, we'd be the only ones that are like. Like, we'd wind up like Jake Paul. Like, even little. Bro, even little Tekka, the fucking. The rapper, bro. The rapper, he's a really good he's a really good artist, dude. He was seen, like, he looked, I thought he was a little school, I thought he was like a little 10th grade girl, because he's like, I never seen what his body looked like, I just seen like his face, but it looked like a 10th grade girl trying to break into a, he hits the Nike store window with the big ass fucking metal stick, pow, it doesn't even break or nothing, and he does it again.
He'll start shaking like a cartoon and shit. Like,
it looks so funny. So then he goes to another area, and it just cuts off. And then all of a sudden, you see him running out with a bunch of shoes. And
I'm
like,
something. Man. I'm sorry that I interrupted. But you think it's worth it? Go to jail for some sneakers?
No.
For a laptop, like they were doing. I mean, especially people that can afford it. I can understand you can afford it. I can understand, like, in my area, North Philly, you know, people struggle, like he was saying at the first. Yeah. They don't have a job. I can understand them seeing the opportunity. Well, what the heck? Are they doing it? Why I can do it? When I was young, I would say the same thing. But you're a rapper. Jake Paul's brother is a
millionaire.
Look at him like exactly. And they look at him like icon, like a good guy.
Young
like
children.
Want to be like him.
Young children.
Yeah, children.
And I've been to Jake Paul's house, and I've been to Logan Paul's house. Jake Paul lives in a $7 million house, bro. He is not hurting. He has no business stealing anything. He has no business going and setting a bad example.
Did you hear why, though? Did you hear what their excuse?
What was it?
I was watching Keemstar on Drama Alert, which I'm going to erase that part. And shout out Slapper Cash.
Fucking loser.
Slapper Cash all turned out Drama Alert. Come on, period. Well,
yeah, I turned out a real quick story before Eddie explains that. There was this big feud I went viral for like 6 weeks in a row. And that's around the time I met Eddie. And, you know, Keemstar wanted to interview me on Drama Alert. He's got like 2 million followers. And I was like, you know what? And back then, everybody was asking, dude, you can ask Eddie. Everybody was asking me for an interview.
I was blown away. I was like, wait.
And you know, Eddie, he had his thing going on before, and then he stopped for a while, and then he started back up. So when he started back up, I was like, man, you know, I could give this guy with 2 million followers. And back then they were like calling me clout chaser and all this bullshit. And I was like, I could give a guy that has 2 million followers an interview right fucking now that wants to interview me. Or I could give this guy who's starting his brand up and who needs my help.
Just being real. I didn't even know him, bro.
I didn't even know him. I talked to him on the phone for like 5 minutes just to kind of see where his mind was. And
when
to
I
see
was leaving Eblins, matter of fact.
Yeah. I just felt like a brotherly love. You know, I felt like if I'm going to give anybody a little bit of fucking, a little bit of my clout and a little bit of my story, why not give it to somebody? Because I didn't like Keemstar. They came at me fucking foul.
Sideways.
You know, and they just were rude. They were demanding because they had followers. They thought I was just going to go, oh, yeah, you could fucking treat me like shit and interview me. And so I turned them down. And so I did it. I did the interview with Eddie instead of Drama Alert. And we did it on Pure Evil MMA. And we did about an hour show. And that was the first interview, man. And I just said, hey, dude, you know, I just turned down that Drama Alert interview to be on this show. And dude, there were so many people that were shocked from that.
Well, picture like even tonight, you called me on the first ring. I was like, slap, whoop, slap, slap, slap. Yeah. And you know what I mean? Ooh. Like you like it just shows so much about like who you are as a person when you hit me up for interviews like this, because you're going to get more out of this personally where you can be yourself and talk. Look how much fun we're having. Look how real we're being.
Yeah,
I think that's send really
me. Make sure you cash at me after this call. Well,
Eddie, I didn't want to bust his bubble, but he told me I can get you this interview, but you got to hook me up with a fine Puerto Rican girl.
And I go, oh, yeah.
So that was the deal. So that was the deal.
Fairhaven.
Get me the show.
You know, Exit 8, Fairhaven. Yeah, all the Puerto Rican girls over here.
I want that one right there in the photo. That one in the photo right there.
Which one? Yeah. Which one?
The one closest to Eddie.
That one.
Eddie, which one is closer? Black hair? Listen.
Yeah, black hair.
Puerto Rican and her.
Yeah.
Diana Christine Guzman.
Who?
Her name is Diana Christine Guzman.
Oh, yeah.
She's like my manager. She's the one who makes sure the Latin lover look good. She was in my fight carrying the belt.
Yeah.
She's the one...
We're friends or something. You sent her like you told her about me, I think, right?
Yeah, that is Diana.
Oh wow.
Yeah, listen, this lady, let me tell you, I love her to death. She when we're doing something, I sent you the magazine that's coming out. That say Hazel Rochette, she's with the magazine.
Send me her IG so I can post it down below for people to follow as well.
Okay, yeah I definitely will.
We're gonna link.
I was trying to get her to be in the show, but she right now in Florida. So I called her and she was in the time. So I said, listen, I'm not going to have these people waiting. But anyway, Diana Christine, she's the one who makes sure that I look like a pretty boy. She's the one who put makeup. She's the one that take my picture. She's like behind the scenes, making sure the girls don't bother me. They don't distract me. And she makes sure that the girls.
Is that what you want, though?
Like,
is that what you want? You don't want to go.
Yeah, she'd be like, this is all about Hazel. This is not about y'all. You know, she'd be like, oh, like, she'd be accepted, acting like wifey. No, y'all ain't going to be second. You know, I mean, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. The picture, this. Okay, Diana, listen, I'm not going to argue with you. You understand? No, she's a really cool girl, like female. I love her to death. She always making sure that I look good. You understand everything?
Yeah.
Makeup, she put makeup on me. I said, I don't need all this. I always get my female. She's like, yes, you do. You're going to be on camera.
And on top of all, she's beautiful. And Slap wants her Instagram. So listen.
It's not going to go behind. Let me add her. Her name, I believe her Instagram is Diana Christine Guzman, but she's more on Facebook. Y'all can find her on Facebook. She's really good. She's actually an actor. She's an actor. She's a model. And she's a singer. So she got many talents. She's really cool.
So Hazel, you got any fights coming up on Celebrity
Boxing? Hold on, wait. Slap, that's perfect transition. Before we got about 5 minutes left, we're about the 90-minute mark, or actually over 90 minutes, of this interview. This has been one of my favorite talks, like as friends. Like this is us sitting around the poker table right now, basically. And I think this is important to bring out to the people out there. So I really want to discuss something I thought was so weird that you two were discussing. You two are supposed to fight each other, or what's up? What's planned for both of you guys? Because the celebrity boxing thing, slapping thing. What's going on? What's the next 6 months look like for both of you?
Well, we talk about fighting each other, and then, you know, I honestly wouldn't want to fight him, because when we first started talking about fighting each other, it was more like a thing where we really didn't know each other, you know?
Okay.
And now, like, there's times I talk to this dude more than my mother, you know? And I'm
you
like,
said you're on the phone for him with an hour before this interview.
Oh, yeah, that's common. You know, like, I talked to him for, you know, I haven't talked to him in about 8-9 days, but today I talked to him for, like, an hour, and then today, you know, plus another, 2 hours for this interview. But, you know, now he's kind of grown on me a little bit. He's a good friend, and I wouldn't want to fight him, because anybody I go in the ring with, I'm going to have, like, pure fucking animosity, pure frustration. And Hazel knows you have to have a...
Yeah, I was going
to
say...
You don't want to get hurt, but at the same time, you got to do the hurting. And I don't think I'd want to fight him. It started out that way. Like, you know, we kind of like joked around about,
it's interesting.
Well, we were going to fight each other and on celebrity boxing and stuff like that. But now, honestly, unless we got a healthy paycheck. Now, what I did talk about, I said, what we should talk to Damon Feldman, CEO of Celebrity Boxing, about.
I know him very well.
Is having like a five-on-five team, like a red team versus blue team,
ooh,
right?
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
And I talked about, like, being on Hazel's team.
Teaming up.
Like, me and Hazel and three other guys, because Hazel has a little group of, he has
where
a group
do
of
I
people
send my money? Where do I send my money for this?
Hey, so Hazel has a group of fighters who he trains with in Philly. And I was thinking, like, if we could have a team, like, red team versus blue team on celebrity boxing, I think that would be fucking awesome. So that's what I would like to do, is actually be a part of. I like celebrity boxing because it's like a family over there.
But hold on, listen to this idea, Slap. What if, you know, you get five guys, blue team, red team, 10 guys all together. Whichever team, you know, there's five guys.
Put them all in the ring at the same time.
Whoever gets the three fights wins. Gets the big jackpot, the $1 million jackpot, to split up between everybody. That would be like the ultimate fighter in one night. And that's what people tune in for.
What if we had red team versus blue team and we just put everybody in the ring at one time?
Yeah, Royal Rumble.
Royal Rumble.
Bring in the looters.
Yeah. I'm just kind of waiting until everybody kills each other, then I come at the end.
Yeah. Bring in the looters. Come on.
The looters!
But
man,
that was a good idea.
Like, bro, you know, it frustrates me. Dude, for 6 days, I would turn my TV on, and I don't watch that much TV. I watch maybe 45 minutes, an hour a day. I stopped watching fucking TV, dude, because I got tired of seeing, like, it went from the hear nothing about, where the fuck did COVID go?
Yeah.
Disappeared.
Hey, from like COVID, stay in your home. Now everybody's outside holding hands and touching. I don't even think it's like, I know that COVID's real, obviously, because Hazel fucking had it for 2 weeks. Okay. But, you know, I don't think the numbers are as high as what they're saying. I think Hazel was in the wrong time. At the wrong place at the wrong time, and he just happened to maybe touch one of the girls and then touch his mouth or maybe eat something and didn't wash his hands. I think that's how he got it.
I have that problem. I always like this.
Yeah. See, I think, you know, or maybe you were in a gas station or whatever. You were just in a place and you just were unlucky, bro.
Wrong place, wrong time.
You know, the good part is you made it out, because a lot of people died from that, but you made it out, and, you know,
80% chance of failure.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, that's so, mine. That was mine. Yeah.
And
I had three friends that died.
Wow.
Damn. I didn't even know that. You didn't tell us that.
Yeah, friends. I put them on my Facebook page.
Before or after you had this?
Yeah, I had this, and they were calling me for advice. And
wow.
I still
really?
Had a conversation on Facebook, yeah.
Oh, my God,
a lot
God,
of people
dude.
Called me for advice, and I told them, like, what happened is, and this is why I know we got a lot of people, or we're going to have a lot of people watching. This is why I want you to know that the doctor didn't tell me. I didn't know until I came home. People don't die from COVID. People die from complication. Meaning, why I was going to die? Because I had pneumonia plus the COVID It's like saying you're gonna play Russian roulette or and drink a bottle of gasoline. You're gonna die from one of them. You understand? Why are your chances of surviving? If you drink like chlorine or gasoline, that's why a lot of people's dying because they get complicated with pneumonia. But they don't want to say he died from pneumonia. They don't say he died from the COVID. You understand? So that's why it's hard, and a lot of people is dying.
Can you make a statement, champ, to anybody out there that's going through this right now, to stay stronger? What are your words of advice? Because since you've been through it, if you could, champ.
Okay, yeah, I definitely it's gonna take me a second, but I want to say it the right way. I want to thank all the doctors and the nurses. Whether you believe it or not, the nurses is the one who take care of you most than the doctor. The doctor go 5 minutes every day.
They become your friend.
Just to tell you, boom, boom, boom. The nurses always, like, I'm a fat kid. They were bringing me all kind of food and everything. So
wait, hold on. What kind of food? What kind of food? Because that might be the tip to, you know, help you feel better.
Okay, well, after the 10-day, that's when I start eating. So the nurses, that was like, I didn't dare to ask him, but say, listen, do you have any snack? Because mind you, you cannot buy anything. Your people cannot bring you food. Yeah. So you depend on them. And you know what? I remember this night, it was like 10 o'clock. And I was real hungry. Real hungry.
And it was $2.25 for a Coca-Cola.
listen, I went to the hospital 252, and I came out looking like a Kensington crackhead.
Really?
I lost 30 pounds in 14 days. If you see me, you wouldn't recognize me. I'm fat now. Like a dolphin. So, they bring me a big plate of like three chicken breasts, some black beans, and some black rice. I never ate that, but that was delicious. If it was now, I would have thrown it away. But that night, it was delicious. I was like, man, I love it. So my what I can tell people that is going through this, you gotta have faith in God. If you don't got faith in God, if you don't pray every night, if you don't ask God, there's nothing that can help you. Because you know what? The first thing you lose over there is your self-conscious confidence. Confidence, I'm sorry. Because people tell you, you're going to die at 20%. So, you know what I mean?
You need a higher power to believe in, no matter what it is.
So you had the three friends that died that you knew. Did they hit you up? What they contacted you why you had it?
Yeah, while he was in the hospital, I still got the conversation on Facebook. He FaceTiming, and this is all he was doing me. So I was trying to give him like words about like we talked on the camera for like 30 minutes, but all he was doing it was this because he got it through the mouth. So man, when I found out this guy specifically, he was a great guy. He always was trying to make joke videos. Like TikTok, making people, and when he died, it was devastating. Like, good people is dying.
What was he, a fighter too, or was he an actor?
No. He was just a friend from the neighborhood, A guy that you always see him every day because he's doing something funny, putting tea, doing stuff funny just to make people happy.
Positive energy. So
by him dying, like 5 days after talking to me, it was hard. Because I was telling him, pray to God, man, you're going to be okay. You see how I came
out? What went through your mind, champ? What went through your mind, champ? Because when those moments happened, not just once, twice, but three times, you said.
What I said?
What was going through your mind?
Thank you, God. I mean, it's nothing powerful than the Lord. He, I'm not a big, I don't go to church. But I believe in God, and I believe everything I do, it will come back just like the littering. Them people who did that bad, it's going to come back to them.
Yeah.
There's a God over there that is watching everything you do. So if I come today, and this is the way I look at it, Rick has been like my biggest supporter right now after I came out of there. He's trying to help me to be the best. But, you know, like, but if I come back and I step my game up because of him, and then I go like this, turn my back to him, God is going to do the same thing to me. Mm-hmm. You understand? So you got to appreciate and grateful and never turn the bat or cut the hand that is feeding.
Hashtag, Hashtag Team Red for Celebrity Box.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Come on. Come on, hit that.
Team Red. Going back to that, I'm sorry, but going back to that, so Rick saw me coming out of the hospital. He saw I got the gold. He said, fuck that. I got me a Puerto Rican. I got to knock this motherfucker out with one punch.
Imagine for a second. Let's end with this. Let's put this picture in everyone's mind to promote it. And let's pick a hashtag. Slap, I'm going to put this to you at the end of what I just said. Imagine Celebrity Boxing coming back with a COVID fighter celebrity who survived this, who has a story, that's coming back with a viral sensation, who's known for his slaps on the same team as him. Come on. What's better than that? People are going to pay for that. People are businesses are going to want to promote that, get their business on there. Let's make this happen. Slap, what is the hashtag people should use to promote this and tag David Feldman?
Well, David Feldman is bare knuckle. And then Damon Feldman is Damon. His brother.
Oh, wow. Really?
The bowhead guy, yeah.
So Damon Feldman is Celebrity Boxing.
The guy David that
Feldman
flew out
bare
to you.
Knuckle boxing.
The guy who flew out to you on your Instagram, correct?
The guy that I talked to is Damon Feldman.
I get it now. I understand now.
And this is how me and Hazel, this is why me and Hazel are like brothers, because Hazel is a part of Celebrity Boxing. And I wanted to go after one of the belts. So we joked around for a while. Yeah. And so the belt I actually want to go after is super heavyweight champion. And I'm actually preparing now to take that belt over.
Let's go.
And I want to be the super heavyweight champ. And me and Hazel have already talked about this. He's like,
that'd
be a great
guys.
Yeah. I want to be up there with him, and I want to be not only do I want to be, I'm going to be the super heavyweight Celebrity Boxing champion. And me and Hazel are going to run this motherfucker up into the sky. Show Damon how to run this business. And, you know, we're going to bring a lot of attention, and we're going to sell seats. We're going to do things, and a lot of meet a lot of good people. And I'm going to help Hazel get his social media booming a little bit. And yeah, it's going to be great, man. And this is a family. It's a family and
an inspiration. This is
I'm glad to be a part of, you know, just training and being in shape mentally and physically. I feel like, you know, you got to have those friends who are pushing you and checking up on you and like, hey, man, do an extra 10 minutes, do an extra 20 minutes, do an extra round on pads or an extra round on heavy bag. And I know working with Hazel, that's possible. So I just, you know, it's I'm just glad and I'm thankful to God too, because I'm a part of so many different groups, dude, of people and that accept me with open arms. They don't even question it.
I want to watch this go down tomorrow. Like I'd pay $100 to watch this go down tomorrow. Team Blue versus Team Red. You know what I mean? Like
so I got a team, Eddie. I got a team called the TWT. I was telling mom.
Yeah.
He
already has a team.
Yeah, I had a team called the TWT. So you know how Mayweather got the money team?
The money team. Yeah.
So mine is TWT, the winning team.
The winning team. So you guys already have people picked out. You guys already have people picked out. That would be, because I feel like he wants to be the super heavyweight champ. You're the heavyweight champ. We need two more weight classes. So
yeah, we got a guy named The Fearless that he's upcoming. He's going to be fighting in the light heavyweight. I mean, there's so much opportunity in Celebrity Boxing that he's opening more belts and more stuff. And I just wanna have people where when we go, like, I feel love. When I fight in Florida, people love me. People love the Latin lover. I got a character, you know. Who don't like boxing on females? I mean, who don't like boxing? I bring everything in the ring. I bring the boxing and I bring the females. So, you know what I mean? It's something that everybody, when I'm going to go and fight, actually, I was the main event. I was the last fight, co-main event or main event, usually the last fight, in the last one. And nobody moved from the chair until the Latin lover came out. So
actually, you know, and that's another thing. When I do fight on Celebrity Boxing, I'm going to have Hazel in my corner. So, you know, this is my partner right here. And he's going to be in my corner when I'm whooping that ass. So whoever has the belt, we're going to have to get. I mean, if I was the guy with the belt right now, I would go, hey, Mr. Royce, Slap for cash.
Just imagine, though. Just imagine slap for cash.
Just take it, bro. Just take the fucking belt. I don't want it. Just you can have the belt, okay? Just the cash. Here's my bitches, and here's the belt. You know, you and Hazel have a good time.
Yeah, slap. You need a poster like the heavyweight champ. You need something like that now. Okay. Yeah. Come on.
Something like that.
Yeah. You need something like that.
You know what would make that photo better, Hazel?
What?
If I was in the chair next to you with like 10 more bitches.
Yeah, and the and the three other team members. The blue team, hashtag blue team. So listen, what do our listeners of tonight's podcast have to do to make this all happen? Because this sounds exciting. This sounds more exciting than anything I want to watch on TV. I want to watch this tomorrow. What do our fans need to do? Our supporters and fans need to
I talk more obviously with Hazel than I do with Damon, but it's in the works. Me and Damon, we've been talking, and it's more or less a thing where, you know, I have almost 300,000 people follow me on IG. I got a big following on TikTok.
Yeah, you do, bro.
I have I work with big names. I bodyguard for big names, and I have a lot of supporters and fans.
You need to get Logan involved. Maybe not to fight you, but to do something. Get on something like that.
The thing with Logan is he's just scared.
He's
bro.
Shook. He bro, we all know. He sees. We all know.
He's shook. Hazel don't know this because Eddie knows the full down from a year ago.
Hazel doesn't know.
I showed up to this man's house, just me and my boxing trainer, and he had like 20 people there.
Saying that he was overseas and shit.
Oh my god,
Hazel, I just showed up to this house, banging on the fucking front door, like I'm here. Let's go. Let's do this.
Outside all boxing, shadow boxing.
Because Hazel. He's got a ring in his backyard. He's got a boxing ring in his backyard. So he said he wanted to box me. He made a video. Ask Eddie. He made a video and said, "Come to L.A. I'll rip your fucking head off."
Yes, he did.
So I came to L.A. I went to L.A. Wow. with my boxing team, and I showed up at his front, at the front, the front gate. Hey, you guys there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here.
He wants to box pussies like KSI, but not you.
Yeah, so he said to show up, and I showed up, man. And when I showed up with one cameraman and my boxing trainer.
That's it.
And my boxing trainer, I started hitting mitts in front of his front house.
In the driveway, bro. In the driveway, bro.
Wow.
And then he didn't want to fight me.
Yo, he said he was in like Europe or something that he was, but yet Slap says that he was inside the house.
He was in the backyard. His dog got loose, and I seen him in the backyard. So
shook,
I started
bro.
Laughing. So then I was bodyguarding.
Yes.
So then I was doing a bodyguard job for my buddy who fights UFC, Nick Diaz. I was watching his back because Nick has a lot of problems when he goes to watch UFC. He has a lot of enemies like Khabib and big names who have potentially could try to hit him. And try to attack him, you know. It's happened before. So he asked me to watch his back that night. I said, fuck it, yeah, let's roll.
I love this shit.
So as we're going into the back, as we're going into the VIP section in the back of the UFC T-Mobile Arena, there's a spot where all the fighters and celebrities walk through. We go to walk through there. Nick kind of, he nudges me. And I'm like, all right, bro. And he's like, look over there. Look over. And I'm like, oh, fuck, it's Logan Paul. I go,
and
he
looked white as a ghost. Hey. This was Logan Paul. White as a ghost. White as a ghost. Yeah. So shook. There's Logan. Hey, Slap.
Hey, Nick's like, don't. Nick didn't want no problems, but I was like, because Nick's crazy. He'll really fight. So, you know, I go, Logan. I go, come here, motherfucker. And, you know, it sparked a conversation, and Logan actually said, yeah, come over to my house, man, and we'll do this. I'm like, bro, in my mind, if he really wanted to fight me, he would have fought me.
Exactly. So,
life moves on. Life moves on. It's I don't want to take away from the show from my fans and supporters who deserve to see entertainment. And that's what I am, and that's what Hazel is. We are entertainers, and we are born to entertain. Now, this little fucking Barbie doll-looking kid don't want to be in entertainment business. He wants to fight people. He thinks he can 100% win. The kid's like 0-1 anyway.
He ran away. But he ran away when you said, it's my turn now. When you went, it's my turn now, he ran around the trampoline and shit. Yeah.
So, you know, here's the thing, bro. I'm not going to take away from the fans and supporters of Slap for Cash who deserve to see a show. I'm going to go through. And, you know, if we can't find a celebrity or an entertainer or an influencer to fight me, then we'll move down the ladder and we'll give the people what they deserve. They deserve a fucking show.
To the next ghost. Yeah. You know, listen, Logan Paul, Logan Paul shook, man. He has nightmares about you. I saw a video. He has about 4 dream catchers after that incident where you and him ran into each other. He's got dream catchers up. He's having nightmares about you. He wants nothing to do with you.
I know. I already knew, bro. And I don't blame him because keep in mind, you know, like I was watching a fight of the old UFC, and they had like a 500-pound gorilla fighting like a crazy ass, like 6
first fight UFC black belt. One kicks his tooth out.
And check this out. This guy who he was fighting, a 200-pound man. The guy was 500 pounds. He was a sumo wrestler. He had no fighting experience at all. And that guy had such a hard time with that 500-pound man. It was because of his massive size. So I already know, bro.
You're talking about Kimo Leopold.
I'm not worried about this kid at all. Because he has boxing experience, but he never gone against a big man who can hit hard. Keep in mind, I can bench press 500 pounds.
And Slap, you've been getting into a lot of – you've been getting into shape too. I've watched the transformation of even just your face from the last couple of videos getting into shape. Yeah. And this shit's about to go down. We need to make this happen. We need to have hashtag Team Blue going on for celebrity boxing. Guys, Team where Blue can Blue. People find you on social media? Let's end this interview off with a bang. I think that's the perfect way to do this. Celebrity boxing, money to be made, because I want to watch this right now.
Hazel, give them your – Hazel can be found on where can you be – where can the people find you, Hazel?
We lost Hazel.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now. We got you back.
Okay. So, y'all can you hear me now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, y'all can find me on Instagram at Hazel the Latin Lover Rochette. Y'all can find me on Facebook at Hazel Rochette. Those are the only two media I got. I don't have no Twitter. I don't have no TikTok.
That's Rochette, R-O-C-H-E.
Yeah, R-O-C-H-E, Ray Hazel Roche, or Hazel the Latin Lover Roche in Instagram, which hopefully, I mean, I don't want to say like Damon told me, the promoter, you know, I went through a bad thing with COVID, but it's helping me to, people who get to know me more, who I am, and now with the help of Rick Royce, like I told everybody, I mean, God is good. God put Rick Royce in my way. For something, you understand, and you gotta appreciate it. Like I tell everybody, I'm the celebrity boxing heavyweight champ again. But this don't mean nothing. I'm a human being. So this, like I was telling you, I never carry this because I don't want nobody to think that I'm hit him because he's walking with the bell. He's the shit. No, I'm a human being. I'm just as the same loser that goes in celebrity boxing and lose. Call loser that they're not a loser, but when they lose, I'm over there in the corner saying, listen, don't worry, you will have a better chance. And this is why I want everybody to remember me. I'm not nobody, I'm not no special. I'm the celebrity boxing heavyweight champ. Also, so you know, I work in the Creed 2 movie. I had a little scene in the Creed 2 movie. I do modeling and I came out in a couple of music videos. So I'm in that acting. It just shy. Because a lot of people want to see more. And if y'all got a chance, go and check A Day in the Life of the Latin Lover Hazel Roche. It's a documentary that my friends from MBK Vision did. And you're going to love it. You're going to see all the females.
I'll post the link down below.
Hey, Eddie.
Yeah.
Also, Eddie, did you receive the CD?
The CD?
CDs?
Oh, God.
There you go. He got you.
Houston Alexander did the same thing to me the other day.
Hey, so me and Hazel have this thing that we do at the end of all of our conversations that we have with people. And I'm always getting somebody, huh, Hazel?
Houston Alexander got me the other day bad. The UFC
champ. He got Morales. He got my UFC bet. Listen, I'm sorry. I want to give a shout out to my manager on MBK Vision.
Jose Morales.
That's the one he got with the CV. Yeah, it was Doug Morales, great guy. He's a CEO of MBK Vision. The fearless one. He's one of my teammates. A guy, really nice guy. White guy. He told me, he gave me the white privilege. When we go out, I go out with him. I get the white privilege. We're always joking around. Team Titus, all the people from MBK Vision that always make me understand. So I want to give a big shout out to MBK Vision, just like I did to Diana. And all my friends and my supporters, you know, I want to say I love them. And it's been good.
Thank God that you survived that. I think you're such an inspiration. And I wasn't expecting this call at all, and I'm so happy that we did it within 90 minutes. This is one of my favorite interviews I've ever done. This was not just a podcast. This was a conversation. Not just a conversation, but an inspiration. And I want to thank both you and Slap for this opportunity to do this, to spread this to thousands of people out there, because it's always good to feel like you're a part of something. And I feel like we did something to make everybody feel more comfortable at home tonight to make sure everything's okay and you know, just keep the right state of mind. And we have something to look forward to with Team Blue. Hashtag Team Blue.
Yeah. And you know, guys, at the end of the day, you know, it might not be great. And there might be a lot of bad things going on in the country. And there, you know, there at the when it's your turn to go, you have to go. And with that being said, don't be influenced by all these people who are doing ill things, have ill intentions. At the end of the day, when you gotta go, you gotta go, and you're either gonna go up or you're gonna go down. And I don't want to be the guy that's going up, and you know, and I want you all to, everybody who's watching this, I want you to keep that in mind, that you have a chance to do the right thing out there. And yeah, I know it's hard, and I know you might not have a job, and you might be trying to hustle, but if you do bad, bad's gonna come around. If you do good, good's gonna come to you. So I just want to leave people with that, because I know there's a lot of chances to do bad things right now. And, you know, I really would like to see some good for a change. I'm tired of seeing negative. I'm tired of seeing evil. And it's just so much fucking evil going on right now, bro. It's fucking scary, you know.
But not enough pure evil MMA going around right now. Yeah.
Actually, well, they're about to get 9 minutes of it now.
Two things I want to say before we go. I want to answer the question you asked about celebrity boxing. And I want everybody to know, too, that I got a lot of records on celebrity boxing. Like, I'm the first Latino in winning the belt in celebrity boxing. Yeah, I'm the first. I'm Puerto Rican. But I'm the first we gotta fight in Bahamas. So actually, that will be my next time I'm gonna be fighting. I'm gonna fly to Bahamas, which I love that idea.
I love that too.
It was supposed to be one in July 18th in Atlantic City. It was supposed to be the Latin that they're coming back from the Latin level. But I don't think it's gonna happen because the state, you know, the country's still closed. But October 18th, 14 or 18 is gonna be in Bahamas, and bet that the Latin level is gonna be over there with his crew.
We will get We'll give all the updates, all the tags down below here. Slap Champ, thank you guys so much. This is one of my favorite talks ever. And we got to check up again when we get this all set up and in the works. So I'll talk to you guys in a little bit.
All right, guys.
Thank you so much. Have a great night, everybody.
God bless. There you guys go. Slap for Cash and the Champ checking in with us here. Guys.
Yeah.
That was a legit talk. That was the realest stuff I've ever talked about on this podcast. Very comfortable. But now I'm going to get to sleep with my girlfriend upstairs. She's been waiting for me. So I got to go make sure I keep her happy. So you guys know what it is. I'm Evil Eddie from Pure Evil MMA. Remember, without evil, there's no purity. White knuckles to the end. Behave yourselves.